The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You may be seated. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You pray those words, hopefully every day, more than once a day, and you're praying them as the baptized people of God, who trust that God does not, nor will he ever tempt you, and that the devil has been defeated and you no longer are a part of his vile and wicked kingdom. And there's a confidence to pray this, all seen in the gospel reading today, when here Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, and he faithfully did not give in to temptation. And he gives you this victory that he has won. Now, temptation comes from three places in your life: your fallen flesh, the world, and the devil. And if you're keeping track, daylight savings time kind of falls into, I think, all three of those categories at times right now, if you're experiencing it. Now, all these sources are deadly, and they seek to take you away from Christ, his church, and your salvation. And as Christians, you have the victory in Christ, but God still warns you. He lays this before you as a warning, lest you fall prey to these things and perish eternally. There's a danger in that happening. So Jesus faced temptation from the devil face to face. Matthew recorded for us, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Now you can look at this first temptation that Jesus endured toward his flesh, because bellies are good at driving people away from God. This can happen in times of hunger. Think about the Israelites in the wilderness grumbling to God and then not being content when he gave them manna and quail to eat. The gospel reading, Eve thought that the fruit was good to eat and desired to eat it. But it also comes in times of plenty as well. The minor prophets, for instance, we have some of the leaders feasted. They're feasting and enjoying a plentiful life while turning their backs to God. Also, we think of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. One's feasting, one's going without. Now, hungry or full, regardless, the temptation that goes after the stomach seeks to lure you away from where true nourishment comes from and who gives it to you. And that's an important thing to think about in your lives. Listen to what Jesus says here when he quotes from Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's a true statement and to be taken to heart. So how often in your life do your fallen flesh, the world, which the world includes your family, your friends, all those things around you, kind of your heart on the outside, really, and the devil try to get you to look at the stuff in your life as the bread by which you live and find your nourishment to keep you going? You think about how many things around you in your homes or things do you spend your time doing are tempting you to think that you must do or have these things, that you have to have them, that you live by them. Or in times of scarcity, uncertainty, how are you tempted to think that God will not provide or take care of you? Ask yourselves those questions and see where you're being drawn into temptation and away from the Lord. And look then at how Jesus, though, sees these stones offered to him to be turned into loaves of bread. Learn from what Jesus did. Martin Luther preaches on this saying, with this, when he's preaching on this text, Luther preached, look at Christ's attitude towards this temptation of his belly and how he overcame it. He saw nothing but stones and what was inedible, but he went ahead and clung to the word of God, strengthened himself, and knocked the devil down with it. As Christians, all Christians should valiantly make use of this saying when they see there is lack and scarcity and everything has become stones. When their spirit then fidgets, they should say, what would it be if the whole world were full of bread? Nevertheless, man does not live on bread alone, but still is more required, namely the word of God. These words are so beautiful and powerful that we must not rush past them, but emphasize them even more. So for you then to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God is to live by faith. It's to think, it's to live, to act and speak according to what God teaches. One of my favorite colics is that well-known one where we beautifully sum up about God's word that we would hear them read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word of God. And that's appropriate. And so when you face temptations like this and others, having been fed on God's word, you see those things for what they are. You look around you, and nothing will give you true nourishment. So when you're tempted to find your life in the stones of this world, remember and confess those words which Jesus teaches you. For what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world, be they just full of stones trying to tempt you to eat them, and forfeit his soul? Now that all isn't to say that you don't neglect bread and take care of others. In the very Lord's Prayer that we pray for God to lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, we also pray, what? Give us this day our daily bread. And God provides. He uses you and others for this purpose to give daily bread to you and your family. This is still living by what comes from the mouth of God, his word. But what it is not, however, is trying to turn what God has not given into something he has or doubting that God will take care of you. It's living by his word and knowing what the Lord does, how he does it, and giving him thanks for what he gives, however little or however much this may be. Finding content, finding rest in the Lord who is the giver, the very bread of life. And so the word of God teaches you, gives you the victory, and is your defense against the devil and temptation. If you're not living by every word that comes from the mouth of God, you are in a world of hurts when it comes to trying to go through this life. Because those stones soon start looking appetizing. They start looking like the finest bread. You start looking things around you in ways that they think are more important than God's word, and then the day comes when you forgot even what God's word tasted like. And so this is a warning to all of us. It's a warning for us as Christians individually, as us as Christian parents, to teach these things to our children, because you want to guarantee your children, your loved ones, your friends will fall into temptation, then don't follow the example of Jesus. You want to stress out about your job, what you will eat, what you will wear, your health, or any other else, then don't be surprised when the devil entices you away from trusting in Christ. Don't read the Bible daily with your family. Don't pray together. Don't talk about the things of God in your homes. Then don't be surprised when you or your kids face the temptation, and then they walk into the battle not armed with the sword of the Spirit, but unarmed and unprotected, with a big bullseye painted across their foreheads. Or don't be surprised if when they face the battle, they don't even fight, but instead walk willingly to the enemy's ranks and dress themselves in the uniform of the evil foe. And so you see, it's not that complicated when it comes to things pertaining to facing temptation in this life. It's not really that complicated. But it's unpleasant at times because we humble ourselves. We sacrifice. We admit that things in our life need to be evaluated, and if they're contradicting or getting in way of Christ, His Word, and His church, then some serious changes need to occur. Now, the second temptation, it could be said, is a temptation to test God. Matthew goes on to record for us, "Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Now this happens in your life when you abuse God's grace, and when you try to manipulate His Word to serve your purposes, your lifestyle, your beliefs, or whatever you think that you can do. The devil tries to get a heart which trusts God to believe what God has not commanded, or what God does not want His child to believe. So when you face temptation to sin against God, trying to test God and to abuse what He has given, the devil and the world and your fallen flesh want you to think in terms of like, well, it's okay, nobody's perfect, or God will forgive you if you go ahead and do this. Go ahead, live your life, follow your heart, you be you. Wouldn't God want you to be happy? But your defense against all of this is God's Word, throwing back in the unholy Trinity's face of the devil, the Word, your fallen flesh. Throw back in their faces your baptism, where you were set free from sin, where you were forgiven, where you were rescued from death and the devil and given eternal salvation, when you've been given a new life in Christ. So above all of those things, you cry out, "No, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Now the last temptation encapsulates them all. Again, the devil took him, Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Now, all temptations kind of go back to this and the evil foe from which they originate, just as all the commandments come back to that first commandment of you shall have no other gods. 1 John 3 warns you bluntly when God inspired St. John to write, "Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." So when the devil tries to lure you away into sin and away from God, Jesus teaches you to pray, "Deliver us from evil," or literally in Greek, it's the evil one, the devil himself. Because your prayer is against Satan. It's against his works and his ways. In the Large Catechism, it's summed up nicely in this way. So the entire substance of all our prayers is directed against our chief enemy. For it is he who hinders among us everything that we pray for, God's name or honor, God's kingdom and will, our daily bread, a cheerful good conscience, and so forth. So living in God's Word, finding your life in it and through it, and clinging to the Lord through His Word at all times sends the devil fleeing. So when you hear this every first Sunday in Lent or in other times in the church, you look at dealing with temptation, know who the enemy is. Don't be fooled by his lies when you face them in your life. Uncover them for what they are. See through them and tell him, "Be gone, Satan, as you behold before him Christ and his word." We sing in a mighty fortress that one little word can fell the devil. And that word is Christ, who has redeemed you. So, dear people of God, temptation is very real. It's very deadly. Be wise as Christians in this world and know the dangers of your fallen flesh, the world, and the devil. Don't take them lightly. As a baptized child of God, you've been marked with the sign of Christ, the crucified one. And you've been, and a target has been placed on you because you belong to Jesus. So you will face temptations in this life. It's not a matter of if, but you will happen. And they won't always be the same for every person. And some will be more overt than others. Some will be more severe than others. Some will be more of one slant than another. But this is why you have to be prepared. And God is the one who prepares you. You must be hearing God's word and receiving his supper regularly. When you don't, when you're not concerning yourself with the means of grace, you're like a soldier standing on a battlefield without any weapons, and then a plane drops a nuclear bomb on your head. How's that going to go for you? Probably would go better for you than facing temptation apart from Christ. You can't overcome temptation on your own. You will fail every single time. So know the danger and see in it all of its deadly snares. They will take you away from Christ and into hell forever. You see, here's the thing in all of this that's so comforting as Lent begins, and what you see and what you have each and every day. See Jesus. See his faithfulness. See him who knew no sin, who was incapable of sinning, who stood face to face with the devil, who silenced the devil with the very word of God. Jesus was completely obedient to God's law and all that he thought, all that he said, all that he did. He is the Son of God, and he will always, always win the day. Because he's the king who did not and could not fail. He did this wonderfully, and it was all done for you. And all those times you have given into temptation, and all of your sin he took upon himself, and he died on the cross to pay the price that you owe for your sin. So that victory, that atonement, are yours and covers you in the waters of your baptism. And you have it all given to you, and you stand at peace with God. And that's who you are then as a Christian when you face temptation. You face it as one who's covered with Christ. Hearing this reading today and seeing it in faith, you behold your victory over these things. The epistle reading from Hebrews proclaims the confidence that you have in Christ and where you find help as you face temptation. Hear again those words. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you, dear saints of God, have the victory over sin, over death, over the devil, because Jesus has lived. He has died. He is raised for you. He's your mighty fortress in your life as you walk through the danger that is this world. Repent of your sin, and when you face temptation, look to Jesus, who has endured the assaults of the devil and overcome them. Tell the devil to go where he belongs, and don't ever entertain one letter of his lies. Know that you have the victory to turn the other way because you are no longer a slave to sin, but you're a new creation in Christ. You're a free man, one who is forgiven. And when you fail, confess your sin. Repent. Because Jesus is the propitiation for your sin, and he forgives you by his blood. Be a constant hearer of God's word, finding your confidence in Christ. And have peace, rest, and a good conscience in all of this, as Jesus is crucified for you, so that you lay down your head each night, knowing that you deserve death and hell, but he has saved you by his grace alone, and on account of him you are forgiven and stand righteous before the throne of God. He sends his holy angels to watch over you and guard you, even as they ministered to Jesus after the devil left him. The Lord has given you the victory, and he has saved you by his blood. And for that, rejoice this first Sunday in Lent. The Most High is your refuge. He is your dwelling place. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. What joy to behold the Lord Jesus who has done this for you, and what a forgiveness to have as the Lord covers you with his holy blood in baptism and feeds you with the eternal bread and medicine of immortality in his holy supper. What a victory to have that you do have, you really have, over sin, over death, and even over the devil, and even over death, because Christ is for you. And yes, God does not lead you into temptation, and he delivers you from evil. And the day is coming too, he says, when all sin, temptation, the attacks of the devil, and death will come to an end. And on that day, you will no longer walk in danger, but you will walk in your raised bodies with the Lord, not in the desert, but the eternal Jerusalem and new creation that he will make. It will be a glorious day where there will be bread and choice wine flowing in abundance, and an eternal joy and glory beyond compare. Lift up your heads and know what you have, and know what awaits you. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.